Well, as much as maybe that special election here in Michigan, in the thumb area, sided with Democrats, you look at what happened in Indiana and Ohio yesterday. In Indiana, Donald Trump, with his efforts, ousted seven state senators who fought against his idea to redraw maps in the state of Indiana. And Donald Trump has talked about this a lot. If you're a Republican and you're not on board with his agenda, he's going to primary you.
Yeah.
Case in point, we saw that in West Michigan with Peter Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up losing the seat to Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
So is this an idea that is going to help them in the midterms or hurt them? Jason Rowe, of course, the Republican strategist at Rowe Strategic, joins us to talk about that. Jason, good morning. Good to have you.
Good morning.
Is this a good idea for Donald Trump to continue down this road? I've largely advocated against it. I think it's a bad idea, but at the end of the day, this is where he's headed.
Yeah, I do think it's a bad idea. I mean, take Indiana, for example. I mean, these are state legislators who were elected by the people there to represent Indiana, and he's imposing his federal agenda on these state legislators. I do think it is probably going to hurt Republicans a little bit going into the general election, because for swing voters that might be looking for, you know, might be a Republican but like to see a little bit of a check on Trump, you know, they're now just going to assume that every Republican is just going to do whatever Trump wants at any time for fear of retribution.
Yeah, you know, Thomas Massie argued that these challenges are creating fear among Republicans and lawmakers afraid to go against Trump. You buy that?
Oh, no, I mean, I think that has been well established. I think the folks in Indiana probably thought that the threats would pass and they wouldn't really invest in these races like they have. That's the other thing. They've marshaled very significant resources into state legislative races that typically aren't that expensive. I mean, these were not competitive seats. These were Republican primaries, and you got millions being flooded into, relatively small constituencies. And the other thing that is unfortunate about this is that we're wasting a lot of money fighting these intramural battles, money that should be dedicated to making sure we're going to win. And, you know, that's winning in a very, very difficult political environment, and an environment that was caused by Donald Trump. So, you know, he's kind of put us in this fix, and then he is demanding that we all stick with him. And, you know, his numbers are terrible. We got, you know, I would say most handicappers are expecting that we lose the House, and the Senate's competitive right now. And if Haran doesn't resolve soon, this foreshadows a bloodbath for Republicans in November.
Well, and one of the things that even J.D. Vance has talked about often in interviews is that the Republican Party is a place where you can disagree amongst each other. And they've almost worn that as a badge of honor. But this kind of, I mean, to me, this goes against that.
Yeah, we can disagree with each other. We just can't disagree with Trump. I mean, you know, everything about the last 10 years is fealty to Donald Trump. I mean, and you look at how he handles people. If he gets in a fight with someone and they, you know, get on their knees for him, he gets over it. He moves on. I mean, everything just comes back to, you know, fealty to him.
And if they don't, they're Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and we've discussed this before, her crime was sticking to the positions that Trump had just months before, and holding him to his own rhetoric. And, when she stuck to the same position that he had maintained through the election on the Epstein files, she somehow became a traitor. Well, she didn't change. You know, Trump kind of reversed how he was viewing things. And so the expectation is that whenever he reverses, everybody has to reverse with him.
Jason, are we entering a phase now where primaries are less about voters and more about just political infrastructure?
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely the case. I mean, the composition of primaries has also changed. You know, Republicans have underperformed in special elections and primaries throughout the year. And, right now, primaries are about who is most loyal to Trump, and special elections really have been driven by, Democrat enthusiasm to get rid of Trump. So everything is in one way or another a referendum on Trump.
Is it a referendum on what we saw last night in the Saginaw, Bay City, Midland area that a Democrat won that special election?
That was already a tough seat. I think, you know, what Governor Whitmer did was rig the election. I mean, you went nearly two full years without any representation because, you know, we were probably in a better position last year to win this than we are this year because of the shifting in the political environment. But the other thing in terms of composition, Republicans always did much better in special elections because who votes in special elections tends to be more affluent, college-educated voters. Mm. Those used to be Republican voters. Now they're Democratic voters. And so what we've seen has not been just a surge in Democratic enthusiasm. It's that those more civically engaged voters are the ones that tend to vote in special elections. And those same demographic of people just have changed their ideology. So this was going to be tough. I also think we got outspent dramatically in that seat. Mm-hmm. I thought we had a much better candidate, but, you know, when you look at how low the turnout is and who it is that turns out to vote, and then this is a seat that's always been, you know, blue trending purple, and yeah, there was an opportunity. I also think had we, you know, run this race in a normal period of time rather than, you know, waiting 2 years, you could have gotten some bigger name candidates like Bill Schuette or Timmy Beeson, who's a state rep in Bay City, to jump in this race. And they took a pass because of, you know, things changed and, mm-hmm. and if they lost, they weren't going to, you know, they were going to give up their seat. So, you know, all the dynamics were against us. It would have been extraordinary if we won. It doesn't really say much that we lost.
Interesting stuff as always, Jason Rowe. Appreciate it. And you're going to be in for me for a couple of days next week.
I'm looking forward to
it. Take it easy on Jason, will you please, Lloyd?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Have fun.
Jason, right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Yeah. Good to talk with
Pistons.
You.
Go Pistons.
Go Pistons. That's exactly right. Also, Marco Rubio confirmed yesterday 10 crew members have died in this this backup in the Straits.
In the Straits. Yeah.
Yeah. They're sitting ducks. They're isolated. They're starving. They're vulnerable. It's something you talked about yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like these people are stranded out there.
They're stranded out there and, you know, they don't have food and yeah, it's not a good thing. And so I hate to hear that, you know, people have lost their lives.
Marco Rubio says almost 23,000 civilians from 87 countries have been rescued, though, as a result.
Yeah.
So it's obviously top of mind for them as well.
Yes.
Coming up on the other side, the Pistons take a 1-0 series lead over the Cavaliers. They did it with defense and some timely scoring. Great bench play. All around great game. We'll talk about it next.